He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Catch his work on the front page of the sports section. Catch up with what you missed online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle's at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how are you, sir?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Are you going back to the Midwest for the holiday, or you're working and have things to do and are going to hunker down here with your wife and son?
Actually, kind of neither. I'm on vacation this week, but I'm sitting around doing absolutely nothing, and it's kind of nice.
All right. I gave you A or B. You give me C. I see how it works. Major piece in today's Guard, written by Ryan Thorburn, about the making of a coach, Willie Taggart. You got to be a part of that, some of the conversations. I thought very interesting stuff. If you'd kind of, for those who haven't seen it, the share the story. Jim Harbaugh, still relatively early in his NFL career, actually played a role in recruiting Taggart to Western Kentucky to play for Jim's dad?
Yeah, Willie Taggart had some great stories about Jim Harbaugh and how influential he's been in Willie's career. Going back to when Willie was a recruit, he got a phone call from Jim Harbaugh out of the blue. It was the first time they talked. Got a phone call from Jim Harbaugh recruiting him to Western Kentucky to play for Jim's dad, Jack Harbaugh. And that was the beginning of what's been a long relationship and friendship with those two guys. Willie told a great story about after he finished playing at Western Kentucky, he wanted to go on and play in the NFL. So it was draft day, and he was sitting there waiting for the phone call, hoping he was going to get drafted. And so he gets this call from a number he doesn't recognize, and he picks it up, and he says hello, and you know, a guy introduces himself, and he's thinking, all right, this is it. This is the call. I'm about to get drafted. They go on for a little bit, and it's Jim Harbaugh prank calling him.
Oh.
So apparently those guys don't mind giving each other the business a little bit, but Jim's been very influential in Willie's career all along the way from Western Kentucky to Stanford and now at Oregon.
Fast forward to shortly after the decision was made to dismiss Mark Helfrich. So Taggart's name surfaces, an interview set up. He thought he did great, and obviously now he's the coach. But what were some of the things Coach Taggart had to say about, you know, maybe when the day has run its course and what to him really needs to be corrected here on and off the field?
Well, I thought Willie Taggart was pretty candid about acknowledging that they needed to fix the culture a little bit. And it's funny because, you know, Oregon loves to talk about the culture. And, you know, up until things started to go south this year, Oregon's culture was this, you know, this big thing to be emulated and admired. And everybody talked about the great culture at Oregon. And certainly Willie Taggart gave the impression that that was broken a little bit. I think he's had some conversations with players, and I think they've been pretty honest with him. And I go back to what Cam Hunt said in the middle of the season about a chunk of the team not being invested. Seems like that's what Willie Taggart's heard, too, in talking to the players. And I think he realizes that they need to get some discipline back, and they need to send a message. And, you know, there's some things that they need to fix. I think he walked into that situation and realized that it's not going to be an overnight process, and, you know, that there were definitely some things that went wrong to get the team to a 4-8 record that Willie Taggart's going to have to address.
Yeah, I was intrigued by his willingness to be forthright as we continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Prior to the Duck basketball game at Moda Saturday, you got some time with Athletic Director Rob Mullins, and, you know, the immediate aftermath of firing Helfrich, it was awkward. But now with Willie Taggart as the man, what did Mullins tell you maybe struck him about Willie Taggart, which, as you wrote, was that this is likely a career-defining moment for the AD?
Yeah, I think what Rob Mullins saw in that interview with Willie Taggart is what we've seen so far, just the energy and the enthusiasm that he's going to bring to that position. You know, I asked Rob, coming out of that interview, if he thought, okay, I've talked to our next football coach. This is the guy. And he didn't exactly say that, but he did say that he had a really strong impression and he was impressed with Willie Taggart right away. That was one of the things that stood out to me from talking with Rob Mullins. The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting was I asked him about, you know, that tweet that was out there about Phil Knight breaking the bank and throwing around $10 million to hire an ex-coach, and if that complicated the search at all. And he said, you know, maybe a little bit. It is interesting to look at what Willie Taggart's going to make next year. It's about $3 million, $2.9 million, which is going to put him pretty close to the bottom of the Pac-12 salary spectrum. So certainly not some of the numbers that had been thrown around.
Oh, yeah. Well, from $10 million, and we all know that that was just ridiculous. What did Rob have to say? Maybe he gets feedback. He hears from fans. Taggart, obviously not a nationally known name. But right now, you know, if a guy's name pops up, you can find out everything about him that you want and fast. I guess what has stuck out to Rob feedback-wise these last 12 days?
I think the feedback has been positive, and I think part of that is that Willie Taggart has been out, you know, in the community getting to know some of the fans. I mean, he's already done more FaceTime, I think, with the fan base than maybe Mark Helfrich and Chip Kelly did in 7 years combined, you know. I mean, it's just a different vibe with Willie Taggart hanging out in the pit crew at the basketball games and doing the meet-and-greet type stuff. And it's not the kind of thing that Oregon's head coach has done for a long time. But I think it's been good, and I think that's, you know, contributed to the sort of positive vibe with Willie Taggart.
So the second key hire, Jim Leavitt, to run the defense, something so obviously important, even the president, who's not a big football guy, knew about it. It's Jim Leavitt, and obviously his defense killed it at Colorado this year. And again, you get a lot of feedback through multiple platforms. From those chiming in, what are you hearing as far as, I don't know, the level of pleased or displeased?
I think people are pretty excited about the hire, and they should be. I mean, Jim Leavitt, I remember Jim Leavitt back in the early 90s as an assistant coach at Kansas State when the Stoops brothers were there, and that was quite a crew. Those guys, those guys could get a little bit animated in the press box if you ever watched them during a game. Mike Stoops is still that way. But that was sort of the crew back then. And then Jim Leavitt went on to South Florida. And if you've never heard the story of how Jim Leavitt started that South Florida program, it's pretty amazing. I mean, he was coaching out of a trailer that first year. They had no facilities, no infrastructure. He basically started that thing from scratch and built a good program there that eventually Willie Taggart took over. And then, you know, Jim Leavitt's time there ended with controversy. He was accused of striking a player and got fired, and has really kind of resurrected his career at Colorado. The success he had there the last couple of years has made him a hot candidate and somebody who maybe potentially could be a head coach again if he succeeds at Oregon. So I think it was a great hire to bring in a guy who has that kind of experience, and it's going to really bring, you know, I think an edge to Oregon's defense that has been missing.
Yeah, when Oregon played in the Sun Bowl against Leavitt's team back in 2007, we talked with the writer from the Tampa Trib, and he basically told us they gave him a trailer, about three landlines, a stack of legal pads, and a new box of pens, and said, see if you can build a program. And he kind of did. It really is an amazing story.
Yeah, those digs were not quite as luxurious as the new office at the HD Center, I think.
Maybe. We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. All right, let's shift away from duck football. Clearly the new downfall of society has nothing to do with morals or the environment, but guys not playing in their bowl game. And we see Leonard Fournette, McCaffrey. I mean, they're running backs. That's the short shelf life. Both did have injuries this year, and neither are in a playoff game or a major. So what's been your read on all this, if this is going to be a trend or just right for those guys right now?
Well, it's a real hit for the sacred tradition of the Sun Bowl, which is certainly one of the great hallowed events in sports. I'm sure everybody who's ever played in the Sun Bowl has been totally excited to be there, and the integrity of that great competition has never been questioned. But as a fan, you know, I will say I'm a little disappointed that Christian McCaffrey's not going to play in the Sun Bowl, just because I like watching the guy play. You know, anytime he puts on a uniform, it's a great show. You know, I hope he does well in the NFL, but who knows? He might go to the NFL and flame out. This might have been the last chance to really see him. So I'm disappointed he's not going to play, but I don't really blame the guy. And I think we may see more of this, and maybe it will spur some change in college football. You know, when you look at these bowl games, players realize, you know, aside from the, you know, the gift pack, the iPad or whatever they get, there's not a lot in it for them to play in a bowl game. So maybe it's an incentive to sweeten the deal a little bit. And if players end up getting some, you know, some incentive to stick around and play in that bowl game, I don't think it would be a bad thing to spread the wealth a little bit.
Well, now I think because we know the Rose Bowl is the granddaddy, now we've got to come up with a sarcastic nickname for the Sun Bowl, some kind of illegitimate twice-removed uncle.
It's the weird uncle of them all.
Let's wrap and light up baseball's hot stove. A change in how the writers pick who makes the Hall of Fame. It was always private, I guess anonymous, even though a lot of guys revealed their vote. Now it's public. And Bud Selig is in. I mean, let's face it, he oversaw the Peds era. Tony La Russa, you know, between the Bash brothers, then McGuire at St. Louis, probably benefited as much as any manager. Do you think, what do you make of this? Will it change things and maybe open the door for Bonds or Clemens?
Well, I'm all for transparency in any type of voting situation. You know, I vote for the Heisman, and I think it's kind of silly that the voters have to keep their ballots a secret until after the finalists are announced.
Right.
So I support any opening up of the rules to allow people to be more public in how they're voting, and, you know, in terms of how it'll affect things going forward. You know, I've maintained all along that the PED guys are going to get in eventually. I would expect, you know, maybe if anything, the change is that, you know, the people who want to make a point and not vote for somebody, you know, on principle, you don't want somebody to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I always thought that was stupid. I'd love to see, you know, everybody's ballots are public so you can figure out, you know, who's this guy who thinks Derek Jeter isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'd like to know who that guy is, because, you know, there's certain players who just deserve to be in. Sometimes people are just trying to make a point.
I always wanted to find the guys who didn't vote for, like, Mays or Aaron. It was like, what did we miss? What happened over 20 years that didn't impress you? But, well, I guess anyway, enjoy your holiday wherever it may take you. And always appreciate the time. And we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks a lot, Austin.
All right, Steve, happy holidays to you as well. And we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Take it easy. Austin Meek, Register Guard.